We find that in Luke 22. We find the story unfolding. And as we know, it's the Passover. They were celebrating the Passover feast, which in and of itself is such a beautiful celebration. It's when the children were miraculously delivered from Egypt. And not only miraculously delivered, but they spoiled Egypt. They spoiled Egypt. Amen. Lord willing, we'll get to that. But I'm just wanting, you can go ahead and just continue to play, Brother Jeff. I appreciate that. I want us to keep a spirit here. If you feel to pray, you just go ahead and pray. I'm not going to be long. I just want to make a few simple comments, and we're going to move on into the communion part of this service. But we see on this day that he had sent Peter and John to prepare the Passover feast. And lately I've been praying for that spirit of Peter, the spirit of John, to be in our churches. Because you see, Peter's the only human being that's ever walked on water. He has the boldness to step out. He has the boldness to say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And God sees that boldness and gives him the keys of the kingdom. But John has that sensitivity and that relationship with Jesus that he keeps his head on his heart. And he knows what the heartbeat of Jesus is. In fact, when you see the ladies coming back and saying that the tomb is empty, John beats Peter to the tomb. But Peter has the boldness to go inside. On the boat, when they're fishing there in John, towards the latter part of John, when John recognizes that the person speaking to them on the shoreline is Jesus, he says, that's Jesus. But Peter jumps into the water and he swims to Jesus. It's that mixture of the sensitivity and the boldness. We need that so desperately in our church services. Because when they marry and when they get together, that's when the miraculous takes place. That's when we got the day of Pentecost. But beyond even that, that molding and that shaping is when they can walk. They can walk and they can go. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, Sister Holly, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Stand up and walk. And the miraculous takes place. That's what happens when we get that going. And I know that shocks you. And I know that that's not something you're used to, okay? But it's about time that we start getting apostolic and start believing that the resurrection wasn't only something that we celebrate, okay? But we got that resurrection spirit in us, and we got that holy boldness. And the healing virtue can flow through us in the name of Jesus Christ. Can I get some faith in this place in the name of Jesus Christ? In Jesus' name be healed, Holly. I speak to that, the problems in your leg, and I curse them. I command them to leave, and I loose healing virtue now. Be healed, Holly. Leg, be healed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Atomonde kiataya. Confirm it, Jesus. Confirm it, Jesus. Confirm it, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. In Jesus' name, the doctors don't know what's going on with Holly, but we serve somebody that does, don't we? We serve somebody that does. And sometimes it just takes a little boldness of stepping out and speaking in it. And it comes to pass. That leg is healed in Jesus' name. That leg is healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so sick of doing things as normal. I am so tired of it. Jesus, move on us. Jesus, move through us. We're united, and so move through us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I loose every single one of you. I loose you to operate in the gifts of the Spirit that God's blessed you with. And I believe in you. I have faith in you. I have faith in the God working through you. Yeah. Let's go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise. We worship you, Almighty God. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The spirit of Peter, spirit of John. Got a little sidetracked there, but that felt good. Jesus, that felt good. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Holly, you are healed in Jesus' name. Yes. Next time you go to the doctor, you're going to go, I don't know what it was, but it's gone now. It's gone now. Yes. In Jesus' name. For the glory of God, that excites me. Yes, and I believe it. I believe it. You may be seated. What kind of burden was Jesus feeling that day? They get into the upper room. It's not the last time you hear this upper room, by the way. They go back to this upper room on the day of Pentecost. Same upper room. Same upper room. And that's where this really comes to life for them. And that's where it comes to life for us. Amen. When we take part of this, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our own lives by repentance, dying out to our old man and baptism in Jesus' name, where we bury that old man and then we're raised again to newness of life, where we are, he breathes once again into us and we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's where this becomes real to us. And that's where we can look at what we're doing here tonight and see the significance of it. I remember the abbots, you guys redid your vows here, right? On your 50th? Or where was it at? Okay. 40th at the campground? Okay. All right. That's what we're doing tonight. In a sense, we're renewing our vows, our marriage vows to Jesus. And it's such a beautiful time, and it's such a privilege. Such a privilege to know that we are the bride of Christ, that we are a part of the bride of Christ. Amen. And so we look at this. We look at this when Luke 22, and I'm just going to jump ahead to 19. Jesus, he took bread, and he gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And then he goes on to say, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And immediately following that, it shouldn't shock us, but it is almost unbelievable that all of a sudden there's strife amongst the disciples. Who's going to be the greatest in this kingdom? And they still don't understand. They really still don't get it in their minds what Jesus really means by establishing his kingdom. They have no idea that he is fixing to actually be crucified. They believe that he's going to set it up by force, that he's going to establish his kingdom. And so they're still in that mindset. In fact, when you look in John 14, that's when Philip waxes bold and waxes and shows his wisdom and says, Jesus, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. This is during this time right now. Jesus looks at him. He's like, what? How long have you been with me, Philip? And you still don't get it? That if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? So how could you even ask me that? That's where they're at this stage. And that's because these concepts or this is a revelation that's only captured spiritually. And that's why we really, when we first start into this, all we need to do is believe on Jesus. We don't need to understand to the detail everything because God's going to give it to us. And that's what he said his Holy Spirit was going to do, lead us into all truth. However, You see this. You see you got the strife. And he teaches them again in 25, 26, 27. And then he looks at Simon, looks at Peter, and he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, this is after they've done the eating the bread, and this is after they've drank the cup. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That's very significant when he says that thy faith fail not. And Peter says, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he makes his mistake. He makes his mistake by saying, I. And that's what we do too often. And I encourage us to take the time to think before we speak and say, begin to get in the habit of saying, if the Lord wills, or if the Lord's willing, I'm going to do this, or the Lord willing, I'm going to do that, instead of coming like Simon and saying, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to die with you. And he totally meant that. I'll defend Peter. He actually really meant what he said. He just didn't understand what Jesus was fixing to do. And so he whipped that sword out, and he swung the first blow. It wasn't a love tap he was trying to do. He was trying to, when you hit someone's ear, you're just a bad shot. You were trying to split somebody in half, or I'm not sure how that whole thing worked where it was just his ear that came off, but Peter was ready to die for him. And so then when Jesus says, no, you stop that, Peter, picks that ear up and puts it back on him. Peter, like right then, Peter goes, what is going on? Like, I just got rebuked from, I'm trying to fight to the death here with you, Jesus, and what I don't understand what's going on. And that's why that's so critical when Jesus said that he had prayed that his faith fail him not. His faith in what? His faith in, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that which gave him the keys. Amen. But we see Peter's attitude here. And it's that the attitude of self, it's the attitude of, I'm going to do this. And as we move forward, Jesus isn't done teaching us here. Because the next place they go is into the garden. Jesus, who was fully man and fully God, go into the Garden of Gethsemane. And the man, knowing what he was fixing to suffer, knowing what he was fixing to go through with the Romans whipping him. The Romans were absolute professionals when it came to whipping somebody, getting them as close as they could to death without killing them. And there would be two of them usually, one on each side, and they would take turns, and they would swing it, and that whip would come around, and it would actually wrap around their body into the stomach and rip sections out with the bone that was embedded into the whip. And then the next guy would take his swing. And they were professionals at it. This wasn't a little beating that like Paul would take from the Jews, which was sufficient enough to scar and kill most people. But they were absolutely trying to bring him within an inch of his life. And you see it because he can't even carry the cross. It's impossible for him to carry the cross by himself after what he goes through. And he knows what he's fixing to face. And his humanity is crying out, no, no, I don't want to go through this, and I don't want to drink this cup. The heaviness, the sorrow is so much that he begins earnestly praying in agony. Hebrews 5 tells us in better detail what, he put that up for me. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. To the point that verse 44 of Luke 22 says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Literally, he began to die right here of a broken heart as his blood and water began to separate. And he really died, literally began to die here. Not only did he die out to himself and to his will, he began to die here from the agony and the burden that he was feeling, our sins beginning to come on his shoulders. As he was saying, if it be possible, saying, Father, in verse 42, Luke 22, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. 1 Corinthians, verse 11, Paul is actually the very first person that writes this. This is recorded before Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written. And in verse 23, he starts, says, For I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And he's speaking to the Corinthian church, which if you know anything about Corinthian church, it was a headache. They were full of sin, terrible sin, full of lust, just given over to it. And then also the rampant disuse or misuse of the gifts of the Spirit, which he addresses later. But in verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, hear me now, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or have died. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And that chastening being the weak and sickly among you that he's talking about. And we know in First Corinthians or in Hebrews 12 that Paul discusses that in detail. But in verse 27, let's go back. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And this year, 2017, as we are fixing to take communion once again, maybe for the last time. Even so, Lord, come quickly, is my cry. Maranatha, I say Maranatha, that's Greek for even so, Lord, come quickly, roughly. But this could be the very last year that we ever come together as a body and that we ever partake of the communion together as a body. And we have these two examples in Luke 22. We have the example of Peter and in his self-will and then in his confidence in his self. He says, this is what I'm going to do, Lord. And Jesus being a man facing that exact same conflict. He didn't want to do this. The man Christ Jesus did not want to go through what he was going to go through. But he prayed, not my will, Lord, thine be done. This year, as we examine ourselves here before we partake in communion, we're going to take a little time to do that. The Bartletts are going to sing a song for us. Let us examine our hearts. Let's ask the Lord to reveal to us if there be any wicked way in us. Lord, restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He says, David said under inspiration before that. But it's the test of wills. The sin of iniquity, which Satan fell by, was the eye being the foremost thing. I'm going to raise myself up and I'm going to be just like God. That's the sin of iniquity. Lord, not my will, thine be done. Lord, show me Sister Sherry, you said it so beautifully to me the other day via text message when you said, I'm going to go pray and I'm going to ask God to show me my place in his body so that I can do what he has called me to do in the body of Christ. If that would be our prayer as a body of the Sterling United Pentecostal Church, show me my place. Show us our places in your body that we could work together, be in this body that's fitly joined together, not comparing ourselves amongst ourselves, who's going to be the greatest, and not saying that I'm going to do this year, or this is what I got going, this is what I have planned. Jesus, you're back behind here because, you know, you just died on the cross for my sins, but I'm in charge. I know what to do best. But that our cry, that our every day when we wake up, that it would be, Lord, not my will, but yours be done today. Lord, I want to do your will today. I want to speak and say what you want me to say today to who you want me to say it to. Anoint me, Lord. Anoint my hands. Anoint my mouth. Lord, help me to only view things that you want me to view. Help me to only be around the people that you want me to be around. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. As the Bartletts begin to sing this song, as we prepare ourselves for communion, can we take a moment here to examine ourselves? Take a moment here to ask the Lord to reaffirm to us our place in the body of Christ. Reaffirm to us what he has for us, and that we could go forth and do that. Accomplish exactly what he has ordained, preordained for each one of us to accomplish. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
So you can use me. I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to you can use. give myself to you.
My life is not my own. To you I belong.
I give myself to you. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Can we stand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Brother Mike and Sister Megan to come and stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I worship you, God. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your blood. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Starting on my right, if you would start to come. Hallelujah. Brother Greg, would you lead us off tonight? Hallelujah. For it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. To the high.
gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. Will never lose. It will never lose. It will never lose its power.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11 says, and when he had given thanks, he break it, said, take, eat, for this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and shall drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I believe that we have examined ourselves tonight. We have searched our souls. We have searched our hearts. God, search me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. There was a gentleman growing up in our church that refused to take communion with the rest of us because he never felt worthy. He read that as himself being unworthy, and we will never in this flesh be worthy. Hallelujah. But it is by the blood of Christ that we are worthy. Hallelujah. That is not what it's talking about here. Hallelujah. We take this very seriously. This is our relationship, our communion with Christ. This is not a joke. This is not to be made light of or made fun of. This is serious, and that is what it is talking about. It is important that we examine ourselves tonight. Hallelujah. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Hallelujah. In Matthew 26, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Thank you, Lord. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood. God, your blood is meat.
us worthy and acceptable in your sight. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for accepting us into the body of Christ. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your cross. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your resurrection power. Hallelujah. 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 Can we just take a minute and thank him for his blood? Hallelujah. For it reaches to the highest mountain.
From day to day, it will never.